Chapter 29. Marco was fighting to kill time. He stalled at every possible chance as they tried to help him dress. He needed time for Raymond to find his position, for the inexorable, uncompromising television schedule to pull all of the counters into play. Marco thought about the face of John Yerkes Iselin, and he made himself do everything more slowly. His right arm was in full sling, right hand to the left shoulder. The right side of his face seemed to have come off, the skin was gone, and under the snowy bandage, it was as black as the far side of the moon. Four ribs had crumpled on the left side of his spine, and he was tightly taped. He was under semi-anesthesia to keep the pain under control, and it gave him everything on the outside in parts of fantasy and parts of reality. Two men were dressing him as rapidly as he would allow them to progress, although no one there could tell that he was stalling. Amjack and Laner squatted on the floor around a tape playback machine, and the only sound in the room beyond Marco's labored breathing and his quick, deep throat sounds of pain was the clear, impersonal sound of Raymond's voice, backed up by children's squeals and laughter, the roar of hungry cats, the honks and splats of seals, and the gentling undersound of 200 red, green, and yellow balloons as they cut the air at a tenth of a mile per hour. Every man in the room was staring at the machine. It was saying, "No, I don't think the priest's outfit is supposed to have any symbolic significance. My mother doesn't think that way. Primarily, it will be good camouflage. She may have arranged to have me caught after I kill him, when I suppose I will be exposed as a communist with a tailor-made record as long as a hangman's rope. Then, of course, the choice of ecclesiastical costume will keep a lot of people enraged on still a different level, if they didn't happen to plan to vote for the dead candidate. If I am caught, I am to state, on the second day after much persuasion, that I was ordered to undertake the execution by the Kremlin. Mother definitely plans to involve them, but I don't think she will purposely involve me because she was really deeply upset and affected for the first time since I've known her when she discovered that they had chosen me to be their killer. She told me that they had lost the world when they did that, and that when she and Johnny got into the White House, she was going to start and finish a holy war, without 10 minutes' warning, that would wipe them off the face of the earth, and that then we... I do not mean this country, I mean Mother and whoever she decides to use. We'll run this country, and we'll run the whole world. She is crazy, of course. There will be a terrible pandemonium down in that arena after they are hit, and I'm sure the priest's suit will help me to get away. I am to leave at once, but the rifle stays there. It's a Soviet-issue rifle." Marco's voice from the tape said, "Did you say after they are hit? Did you use the word they?" "Well, yes. I am ordered to shoot the nominee through the head, and to shoot Johnny Iselin through the left shoulder. And when the bullet hits Johnny, it will shatter a crystal compound which Mother has sewn in under the material, which will make him look all soggy with blood. He won't be hurt, because that whole area from his chin to his hips will be bulletproofed. Mother said this was the part Johnny was actually born to play because he overacts so much, and we can certainly use plenty of that here. The bullet's velocity will knock him down, of course, but he will get to his feet gallantly amid the chaos that will have broken out at that time, and the way she wants him to do it for the best effect for the television cameras and still photographers is to lift the nominee's body in his arms and stand in front of the microphones like that, because that picture will symbolize more than anything else that it is Johnny's party which the Soviets fear the most, and Johnny will offer the body of a great American on the altar of liberty, and, as you know, as Mother says, there is nothing that has succeeded in the history of politics like martyrdom, for now the people must rise and strike down this communist peril, which she can prove instantly lives within and amongst us all. Johnny will point that up in his speech he will make with the candidate in his arms. It is short, but Mother says it is the most rousing speech she has ever read. They have been working on that speech, here and in Russia, on and off, for over 8 years. Mother will force some of the men on that platform to take the body away from Johnny, because after all, he's not Tarzan, she said. Then Johnny will really hit that microphone and those cameras, blood all over him, fighting off those who try to succor him, defending America, even if it means his death, and rallying a nation of television viewers into hysteria, and pulling that convention along behind him to vote him into the nomination, and to accept a platform which will sweep them right into the White House under powers which will make martial law seem like anarchism, Mother says.
"When will you shoot the candidate, Raymond?" Marco's voice asked.
"Well, Mother wants him to be dead at about 6 minutes after he begins his acceptance speech, depending on his reading speed under pressure.
but I will hit him right at the point where he finishes the phrase which reads, "Nor would I ask of any fellow American in defense of his freedom that which I would not gladly give myself, my life before my liberty."
Where will you shoot from?
There is a spotlight booth that will not be in use. It's up under the roof of the 8th Avenue side of the garden. I haven't been in it, but Mother says I will have absolutely clear protected shooting from it. She will seat Johnny on the platform directly behind the candidate, just a little to his left, so I'll be able to swing the sights and wing him with minimal time loss. That's about it. It's a very solid plan.
They all are,
Marco's voice said.
There are going to be one or two important changes, Raymond. Forget what your mother told you. This is what you are going to do.
There was a click. The tape in the playback machine rolled to a stop. What happened? Amjack said quickly.
The colonel stopped the machine, Lehner said, watching Marco.
Come on, Marco said. We have seconds, not minutes. Let's go. He started out of the room, forcing them to follow him.
But what did you tell him, Colonel?
Don't worry, Marco said, walking rapidly.
The army takes care of its own.
You mean Raymond?
They crowded into the elevator at the end of the hospital corridor.
No,
Marco answered.
I was thinking about two other things, about a General Jorgensen and the United States of America.